You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Be Jesus Christ
and Mary Immaculate.
Good morning and welcome to Mission Matters Live, a new program aimed at promoting a spirit of mission among the people of God. I'm Sister Madge Karecki, a sister of St. Joseph of the Third Order of St. Francis, and I'm currently the director of the Office for Mission Education and Animation, Fostering the New Evangelization. Our producer this morning is Liz Johnson. Our engineer today is Brian Brock. And my very special guest is Father Andrew Small, an oblate of Mary Immaculate, who is the National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States. Welcome, Father Andrew.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Madge. So good to be with you all here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. What a great treat to be here on a beautiful day. Here it's snowing elsewhere, but it's beautiful weather in Chicago.
Oh, it's wonderful. Father Andrew, can you tell us something about yourself and your background, and how did you come to be the head of the National Office of the Pontifical Mission Societies?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how to attack it, which way I should start, maybe with my upbringing and the teaching of my parents, but that might be going too far back. Just to put all your listeners out of their misery, if they're wondering where the accent's from.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a hodgepodge at this point, but it started in a little town called Liverpool, England.
Wow, you and the Beatles.
Me and the Beatles. I went to school in a place called Strawberry Fields.
Wow.
But I didn't stay there forever, clearly. I moved on, went to school, college, went to law school, worked for a little while, and then joined the Oblates, sort of tried to beat my curiosity to see if religious life and a missionary vocation was for me. And as they say, the reason is not why you join, it's why you stay. And I stayed, and the Lord gave me the graces to thrive and flourish in this life and worked in various places. I came to the U.S. to do graduate studies and was sent to Brazil. Ended up coming back in mission to a Latino parish in Houston, Texas. And from there, I got inveigled and caught into the web of the church's public policy in Washington. I worked in the Bishop's Conference doing lobbying and what we call advocacy, not lobbying so much, on the church's position around poverty and exclusion and that type of thing. And moved on from there to work on our Latin America portfolio, specifically around Haiti and helping in the aftermath of the earthquake there. And then suddenly I got a call out of the blue from the president of the conference saying that the Vatican had appointed me national director to fill the shoes of my predecessor, Monsignor Cosa, but of my very illustrious predecessor, known to so many, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheehan. So that was a tremendous honor. And I get to do wonderful things like this and meet our missionary cooperators and ministers. And it's been such a tremendous blessing these past 4 or 5 months.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Most people are familiar with the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. And if you could tell us something about the other pontifical mission societies that are not so well known, because we're trying to build up a sense of what the pontifical mission societies are about.
The whole notion of the four societies, which I'll get into, is trying to support the church in all its various ministries with different groups of people. If anybody just takes a minute to think about, where is the church? Who's there? Who's part of it? you end up going all over the world. And in a spiritual sense, you were in this world and the next. So as the Word became flesh, we're a very real and concrete church. And we try and seek and support those parts of the church that are vulnerable and weak and poor and can't really sustain themselves with personnel or with finances. So that Society of Propagation of Faith you mentioned is the big one. Then we have the Holy Childhood Association. Yes. Some folks might remember the Pagan Baby Campaign as youngsters. But that's still going strong. We have 200,000 kids, children enrolled. Not so much, helping young people overseas and children overseas, but children being missionaries to children in that great communion, which is the church. That's the second one. The third one supports the formation of religious personnel and clergy in particular, diocesan seminarians. I'm sure most folks listening now have been to Mass recently, and maybe they've heard a strange accent like mine, and maybe it's been somebody from Asia or Africa. Well, those folks were probably trained with funds from our collection, our support here in the United States. So that's the three big ones, and then there's one called the Missionary Union for clergy, for priests and religious. And that sort of supports returning missionaries who've had that overseas experience for many years and to try and cultivate a spirituality of mission, which is really what animates us as church, to be missionaries.
Yes. I'm one of those people who was influenced in a missionary vocation by the Holy Childhood Association, and I indeed saved for those pagan babies. So that was a big part of our missionary consciousness.
And you know the good thing, Sister Madge, if you don't mind me saying, and as the saying goes, they saved you right back again.
That's right. That's right. You are absolutely correct. And certainly led me to have a sensitivity to mission. And the Missionary Union, when I was a missionary in South Africa, we got a lot of good materials to enrich our thinking about mission from the Missionary Union. So I certainly have benefited from the Pontifical Mission Societies.
Sure, all four of them. We put them all together, economy of scale, so that we don't have four different offices and four different staffs and all that sort of stuff. So they're all together, and they operate at the level of the Universal Church, which they have their main offices in Rome. They're a cabinet office, let's say, of the Holy Father himself, headed by a cardinal. They have national offices like the one I work in New York City, overseeing, and there's 120 of those around the world. And then every diocese has one. In fact, according to canon law, Sister Madge,
wow.
According to canon law, the bishop is obliged to appoint somebody for mission because mission is so much at the heart of who we are as church. So they're at every level, parish, diocese, national, and then at the universal level. It's such a core part of who we are.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you've been in the office at the national level for not quite a year yet, huh? What are some of your hopes or dreams for how the national office works in the country?
As I just mentioned there about the various levels that this operates at, I think in a certain sense this year we're celebrating 50 years after the Second Vatican Council. And there is a recovery. We've seen some changes in our church, and most recently back and forth, and now we have a whole new Roman Missal, a new translation of how we go to Mass and celebrate Mass. I think mission is the bedrock. It's the sort of foundation upon which our life as Catholics is based. And I think we're seeing that's another area that we're retrieving. It might have been something that sort of slipped off in the 70s and 80s. And we thought, well, surely everyone's fine, doing well. I think mission is coming back into focus, and it's something which should give us the energy to be church.
Very good. I think this is especially important because the Second Vatican Council taught us that the church is missionary by its very nature. So we've got to get back to this, and we've got to really develop this in the hearts and minds of people. We're just about ready for another break, our first break, I should say. And stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back with Father Andrew Small to talk about the Pontifical Mission Society. Oh,
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Mission Matters Live. If you're just tuning in, I'm Sister Madge Korecki from the Office for Mission Education and Animation, Fostering the New Evangelization. And my guest this morning is Father Andrew Small, the National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies. So welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back with you all here.
That's great. That's great. The church in Chicago is dynamic.
It sure is.
And certainly you're helping us to become more dynamic.
You know, I was thinking during the break, the Sister Madge, about we're talking about all the folks going overseas and helping those overseas, but the Archdiocese of Chicago, like so many dioceses, particularly in the United States, it has the mission on its doorstep. You know, yes. You only have to get on a bus or go to a different church. You have so many different groups culturally, ethnically, and whatnot. It really is a microcosm of the church writ large, which is such a tremendous experience to live in that type of an environment.
It is, and it's enriching for all of our people, because we have the languages, the cultural expressions, and since we just came out of the Christmas season, we had 78 parishes celebrating the Sibangabe for the Filipinos, and we've had the Posadas. So we've had for the Spanish cultural group, and we also had this Filipino expression, and all of these expressions of faith enriches all of us because it widens our minds and hearts. So it's a wonderful expression. What role, since you're working at the national and international level, what role do the Pontifical Mission Societies play in cultivating a missionary spirit among people in the United States?
You know, the word Catholic, as everybody knows, means universal or all-encompassing. You know, that's what we're very proud of, our Catholic faith. As James Joyce once said, it means here comes everyone.
Yes.
And you just described that in a way in the Archdiocese of Chicago and many other places around the world. What I get the joy to do or of doing is to see how people are making their pilgrimage through this world in many parts of the world, and to try and alert one part of the church to what's happening in another part of the church. I have a great gift of being the gift of being a sort of this overview of what's happening because of our connectedness around the world. As you know, we support some 1,150 of the poorest parts of our church, mainly in Asia and Africa, that covers something like more than half the globe.
Yes.
I mean, they may not all be as populated as Manila or Mexico City or even Chicago, but this is where people are celebrating and living their faith. And I get to see a lot of that. And then I get the chance to put one part in contact with the other. Not that they need me to do that, but I get to see the church alive, and particularly where the church is struggling to help people overcome great adversity. For example, there recently, we just had some of our Holy Childhood Association coordinators in Kenya and East Africa that were coping with the terrible famine and drought and civil strife in Somalia, there in the Horn of Africa. Ethiopia pushed into there as well. And our folks were right at the sharp end of that problem. They were at the receiving end of the refugees, children who were struggling. So through the good graces of your office, people of Chicago, and through their regular support all year round, we were able, not like the UN or these big organizations that sort of move masses of tons of food, we were able to put some money in the hands of the sisters and the catechists and the priests so that they could cope with the crisis as they see it in their daily lives. That's been a great challenge, because you always want to do more than you can. But it's a great privilege, because it really makes very concrete what it means to be a people of faith, what it means for us to be the body of Christ. And I think, you know, it would surprise people, it shouldn't, but it would surprise them how, when there's a human tragedy or crisis, when there's great suffering or trauma or difficulty, the church is often the one in the middle of it all. And that's the way I think it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And it's true that, you know, as we're invited really to participate in something like the Holy Childhoods, trying to support those struggling with famine and war at the Horn of Africa, we're also being enriched, because we have a sense of solidarity, and we have a sense of the real Catholicity of the Church, which really helps us. And I think what happens is we sometimes get a sense that the church is being diminished and that the church is dying. And then when we learn about what's happening in other parts of the world, we realize that the church is not dying at all. The church is really living in such a dynamic way. And I think that is really the gift of what the networking that goes on, the relationships that are built through the Pontifical Mission Societies.
In a most beautiful way, sort of a mystical way, when you think about going to Mass, and going to Mass on Sunday, or maybe during Lent, people make an extra effort. And part of our understanding of what Mass means is to be united.
Yes.
With those who are celebrating Mass all around the world. Yes. We also unite ourselves with those who've gone before us. You know that phrase, mark with faith. It really is that ultimate communion in Christ. You know, God is big enough for all of us. And he's big enough for all of us with our, you know, with our sharp edges and with our grudges and our difficulties. And he tries to ease those and smooth them away. And I think a great sort of source of grace for us is to think about those who are not just our family members, or not just members of our ethnic group or members of our parish, but those who maybe we don't know, but we know them in our faith. Okay. And to be united with people in our faith, I think, is what makes us, as our church teaches, the community of the reconciled. And that's a beautiful gift, I think, that we can offer to the world.
Yes. I think that there's a deep connection between adoration and mission. Because in adoration, you have to go out of yourself and focus on the one you love, the one who is the center of your life. And in mission, you have to go out of yourself to cross the borders of to be in relationship with others. And so the two, I think, really enrich our Catholic faith, that if we know how to adore and we know how to be on mission, we learn to be more and more selfless. Mm-hmm. So it's an important.
We're getting very mystical here, Sister Madge.
That's okay.
But friend, who's our friend, Jürgen Moltmann, the theologian, he talks about the Jesus going out of the Trinity and on the cross, that great separation between Father and Son, and yet the adoration between Father and Son. He was the one sent to bring us back. And that's what mission means, right?
That's right.
Being sent. And we are incorporated into that Trinity through the person of Jesus in the power of the Spirit. We're all getting very ahead of ourselves.
Really good theology. Well, it's time for another break. So stay tuned for the rest of our discussion with Father Andrew Small of the Pontifical Mission Societies. Don't touch that dial.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored
to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Mission Matters Live. I'm Sister Madge Karecki from the Office for Mission Education and Animation, and I'm talking to Father Andrew Small, the director of the National Office of the Pontifical Mission Societies. So, Father Small, here we are again.
Good to be back with you.
There we are. We had a little break, and now we're ready to move on. We were deep in the theology there of prayer and mission, adoration, and now I want to focus our attention on another current topic. The focus of the Pontifical Mission Societies has been mission ad gentes, or mission first missionary contact. How do you see this in relationship to the Holy Father's call now for the new evangelization? Do you see them related? Do you see them partners? Do you see them as complements? Can you share some of your insights with us?
I don't know what I would do with my appointment if I didn't see them as complementary, Sister Madge. So I know those journalists.
That's what would happen.
She's trying to snare me a little bit, I think. But well, of course they are. But maybe I could offer a little bit of nuance. You said it there very well about the first evangelization. That's those who, we would say, maybe haven't heard and had Jesus proclaimed to them, or that explicit presence of the Savior in their lives. And that brings with it the sense of church and the sacraments and all that goes with the catechesis. And now, of course, we have the new evangelization. Maybe some people might have called it the second evangelization. That possibly could have been another word for it. But new in the sense that folks maybe have left aside some of their traditions and left aside a lot of that sort of whole symbol system of sacraments and fasting and understanding our religious language, our religious symbols in everyday life have suddenly lost some of their meaning for many, many people, particularly our younger generations. This is what has been sort of reported on. So there's this idea of reproposing, as you know, reproposing Jesus to those who are in a Christianized setting, but maybe their Christianity or the Catholicism is not relevant to their lives. I don't know whether that's particularly new for us in 2012. I think it's something we always have to be attentive to. But it's not as if folks are not aware of the Christian message. They are aware of it. It's about, I think, re-energizing ourselves, being on something of a campaign. But we have to remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's ever ancient. The church is ever ancient, ever new. So I think the horizon, as the Holy Father also said, he said, we're going to start this great year of faith in October 2012, and it's appropriate that we do it in Mission Month, because we understand the new evangelization, these are his words, not mine, against the background or backdrop of the church's mission ad gentes, that first reception of the gospel. So they go very much hand in hand. You can't have one to the other. I notice at times, Sister Madge, if I could say, our church and its spokespeople often get pulled this way and that. They lose their footing oftentimes in a political arena, if you don't mind me saying. And it's when we sort of lose a little bit of our own script, and I think we can get pulled all over the place. if we stay on the firm footing of being church as mission, focused on proclaiming Jesus Christ, making him present and real in people's lives, I think we won't lose our footing as much as sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm. I think to just build on what you've said, I think also that we, at least in the United States, have accepted, unfortunately, the myth that faith is private. And I think that has a certain, that was the beginnings of the Puritan model of faith. But we have to, the new evangelization, as I see it, really calls us to really express our faith in a public way, not to see it as something private. And I think we mistake faith being personal and not private.
Sure.
Faith is never meant to be private. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be lived. And I think that's why this call for the new evangelization is an important one. Not only that for those who have lost their faith, but for us who are active in our faith, but perhaps timid.
Right, right. And I remember the church when I was living in Ireland for a while was getting severely criticized, and a lot of it was not constructive. It was somewhat vitriolic, and it hurts us when we see the church that we love being unfairly judged in that way. And I remember talking to my spiritual director about it, and I was quite anxious about it. And he said, you know, Jesus is the living water. If we present the living water to people who are thirsty, then they will drink it. And I think the new evangelization is encouraging us to draw up from the wellsprings of our tradition this living water for a world that is thirsty for the message of Jesus Christ. As somebody once said, they drink the sand not because they're thirsty, but they don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So I think it's incumbent upon us. It makes us all, you know, redouble our efforts as baptized Catholics to ask ourselves, am I bringing the living water of Jesus Christ to others? Because if I am, it's water that, will quench thirst forever.
Yes.
It's not something transitory or passing. It's not like I say, even though I love Chinese food, it's not something that makes you hungry again in half an hour. It's something that is truly, deeply satisfying. And it's the challenge on us as teachers and even our bishops to come to that realization of presenting Jesus, re-proposing him to a thirsty world.
That's right. That's right. And that thirst, I think, is only quenched by those waters when we love, when we are in communion with the one who is love. Well, we're coming to the end of our show, and we hope you enjoyed our conversation with Father Andrew Small. Thank you so much for being with us today. And to our listeners, be sure to tune in again on February 16th for our next show. For now, God bless you, and be on mission wherever you are.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.